Welcome to the Salem Baptist Church Podcast. Join us now as Dr. Jeff Beckett delivers our weekly worship service message.
Man, thank you musicians so much. Great singing congregation, by the way. I hear you guys singing out this morning. Thank you. It's a strange age in which we live. We're going to be in 1 Samuel 28, by the way, preaching our way through the book of 1 Samuel. It's a strange age in which we live. It's a hard age in which to get good advice on so many levels because there's so many different voices coming at you from all directions. I was speaking to someone yesterday who's recently retiring, and they're trying to figure out what to do with their, pension, whether to take the little thing the corporate people are doing or, pull it out and do investments. And they've got a lot of voices in their head, and some of the voices definitely have motives for the things they're telling them, and you can just tell that it's extremely complex and frustrating. There's just so much coming into their brain right now. It's just a hard age and time in which to get good advice. And whenever you're having a problem like that, I've found what you need to do is turn to the advertisers of America, because you can always get some really sound wisdom and advice from our advertising community. For example, this ad from the 1960s says, "For a better start in life, start cola early." And you probably can't read that. I couldn't find a better version of this. But down here, it's saying that you're going to have a much happier, better, active lifestyle. You're going to have a brighter personality. You're going to make friends more easily because you'll all be drinking cola together. And then my favorite is the bottom one. I can't really read it, but it's something about getting all those essential sugars your body needs. Now, I don't have to tell you this. You already know this. But you really do have to be careful about where you get your advice. And the reason why, from a spiritual sense, and really from all of life, is because there's two opposing forces in the world. And for simplicity's sake, let's just kind of call them light and darkness. Now, we know it's more detailed than that, because the light is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And there's these two opposing forces in the world. There's the light that is emanating into this world via God, who from the beginning said, "Let there be light." And from the beginning of recreation through the person of Jesus, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." So there's light. But there's also darkness. And because of that, there's a lot of bad advice. For example, this one that I found, I'm sure was out there via some accordion teacher who was wanting you to know that if you learned to play the piano accordion, you would peak in popularity. This is just crazy, right? So today we're going to look at the common themes we've been exploring in the Bible, which is, as we study through 1 Samuel, we've seen our protagonist, our hero, let's just simplify it, and his name is David. And the Bible says that David acted wisely before God. And so every story we read, we're seeing that David is seeking the Lord, he's praying, he's asking God for counsel and wisdom, and a lot of those prayers are recorded in 1 Samuel. We've been looking at them. Some of them are in the Psalms. We read one today at the offertory. And we've been learning about how to find good advice in the light. But there's this other thing, and it's called the darkness. In almost every story of David we've seen, there's been this other character. He's not a protagonist, but in our stories, he's actually been an antagonist. And his name is Saul. And he's the king of Israel. And he once treated David like his own son and loved him, but he became jealous. And so for 15 years now, Saul's been trying to chase him down and pin him in a corner and kill him and assassinate him so he won't have to worry about David anymore. And for 15 years now, Saul has stopped inquiring of God. He stopped praying. He stopped seeking God. He stopped listening to God. And he doesn't even know the voice of God anymore when he hears it. Which is kind of the nature of darkness, by the way. Today, when we open the scriptures, which you're about to do, we're going to see that Saul is so desperate as he sees that he's coming down to the very end chapter of his life, there's a giant army that's amassed against him, and he figures this might be it, this might be the end. And so he's really desperate for some good advice, the kind of advice he used to get 2 decades before when he once walked in the light. But he can't get that kind of advice anymore. He doesn't even recognize it when he hears it. And so he does something unthinkable for an Israelite king. He goes to a sorcerer, a medium. A necromancer is kind of one interpretation of the Hebrew word, but it's just a general word meaning a person who practices the dark arts. And he goes to this medium, this sorcerer, thinking, maybe, just maybe, she can connect me with my good old dead buddy Samuel. And I can hear one last time some wise words from God, because it's been so long since I've heard from God. I know you're thinking, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard. That's really in the Bible? We're about to read it. It's 1 Samuel chapter 28. The king of Israel goes to a medium to try and figure out what to do with his life. And I could stand up here and very condescendingly sort of snicker about Saul and how foolish this is, because it really is foolish and it's idiotic. Because what could the darkness possibly teach us about the light? Like if someone came in right at this moment and handed you an urgent message, and right as it came into your hand and you were ready to read it, the lights just went out. And you were like, what does it say? And you'd be fumbling for your phone and, you know, trying to see what the message was. Because that's the nature of darkness. It doesn't shine any light on what you really need to know. It brings cold comfort. But I can't condescendingly look down at Saul, because I myself have found times where, when afraid or frustrated or angry, I would seek answers in things that weren't of God. Maybe none of you have ever done that, but I have. It's tempting. It's tempting to turn to dark places for comfort. It's tempting to look for answers somewhere other than God, because sometimes we don't really like what God has had to say. Sometimes we don't have enough of a relationship with God to trust what he has to say. Sometimes we've surrounded ourselves with lies and liars, and we don't know anymore the difference. And so my challenge this morning is not to tell you some story that happened in 1000 BC about some really poor, confused Israelite king who sought out help through a medium. That's the text of the story. But my challenge this morning is to get us all so affectionately enraptured and desirous of the light, drawn to the light, that we wouldn't even consider seeking comfort or answers in darkness anymore. So we're going to jump into the scriptures. This is 1 Samuel chapter 28, and this is verse 1. And hopefully, if PowerPoint survives, we're going to see most of these scriptures on the screen. But if you have a digital copy or your Bible, please follow along, because PowerPoint crashed last night. And it might be really nice to have your scriptures right there just in case. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces for war, to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, oh, a little interlude, because I know all of you were not here last week. Achish is one of the kings of the Philistines. And David, who's been running for his life from Saul, has sought refuge with him. And so David's been living near the city of Gath so he could survive his own king. All right, so now the Philistines, among them Achish, are getting their armies together to go to war against King Saul. And that's why David is involved, and of all places on the Philistine side, let's see. So Achish says to David, understand that you and your men are to go out with me in the army. He says, look, David, I'm expecting you to fight and to fight on my side. And David said to Achish, very well, you shall know what your servant can do. which is a fancy way of saying, you hadn't seen anybody fight till you've seen me and my guys fight. Now, David was lying through his teeth, as they used to say in Texas where I grew up. He was lying through his teeth because all the while he's been living under Achish's protection, instead of fighting for the king of the Philistines, he's been fighting against Israel's enemies, and he was going to turn on them the first chance he got to help Israel. Now, the Philistines eventually figure this out, but we read about that in the next chapter. But I'm telling you this so you'll know that Saul realizes this army that's about to fight against him isn't just an army of Philistines. It even includes a man after God's own heart. It includes David. So Achish says to David, very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life. Verse 3. Now Samuel, remember the old prophet, the wise man, the advisor to King Saul? Samuel had died, and Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the necromancers out of the land. And the Philistines assembled and came and encamped at Shunem. Saul gathered all of Israel, and they encamped at Gilboa. You get the idea. Two armies have measured battle lines. And verse 5 explains the problem Saul is now faced with. And when Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. It didn't take a lot of math to look across the field and see, I'm outnumbered and I'm in trouble. And so Saul becomes a puddle of stress and fear. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or Urim or prophets. You see, Saul had forgotten the little thing called prayer. He didn't really even know how to do that anymore. So he was trying every roll of the dice and trick he could think of, but God wasn't answering him because Saul was a disobedient and unrepentant man. So Saul said to his servants, seek out for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a medium at Endor. We don't know for sure, but there are some ruins of a little place about 3 miles down the road from Shunem where this battle took place. And they think that's where the witch, the older versions of the Bible, the medium of Endor lived. So I want to pull over there for just a minute, and I want us to think about this because I think this is really, really important. When we are afraid, like Saul was in this passage, now we're probably not afraid because there's a giant army on the horizon that we can't handle. Maybe we're afraid because of some medical diagnosis or because we just lost a job or a relationship just fell apart. Maybe we're afraid because someone really close to us died. Maybe we're afraid because there's not enough money to get us to the end of the month. When we are afraid, it might be very tempting to look around and do what it seems like everyone else in the culture is doing, which is turn to the darkness. Take a few additional pills that weren't really exactly prescribed. Hit the bottle just a little bit harder to numb what you're feeling inside. Look into that destructive relationship that you know isn't going to do anything good for you. Spend that little extra time letting your eyes fall on something that isn't positive, that isn't light, but instead it's darkness. It might be just a little tempting when you're afraid or you're hurting or you're struggling to look to the dark for comfort or for answers. But remember, before you go down that path, the darkness can't help with what you really are seeking. Jesus said the words that are on the screen right now. These are from Jesus himself. Here's what he said. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. That's quite a verdict. It's quite a statement. Now, what did he mean? Did he mean the sun came up today, or the stars are shining bright, or the moon's reflecting real pretty? That's not what he meant, is it? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. What he's saying is, I've come into this world. I'm the light. I'm the true light. The light that gives light to every man has come. The true light. But people love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. Jesus said, here I am. I am the light of life. I'm the light of God. Here I am. But a lot of people are going to prefer the darkness. And then he even tells us why. He says, because they can continue to do what they want to do in the flesh without the light being shined on their actions. Today, as tempting as it may be, we have two cats in our house. And if anyone needs a cat or two, they're so sweet and warm and wonderful. And I can fix you up. One of our cats has some kryptonite, which is chicken. If any chicken is, these cats never get table food. They never, but if you eat chicken, it needs to go directly to some outer trash container. Because if you try and throw anything away near this cat, the cat can't deal with it. So every now and then you forget, you're not paying close attention, and you see this cat scurrying with something in its mouth, and you know it's been in the trash can, and it's going for whatever dark place it can find to hide in because it knows you're coming after it with a broom or something. No, I would never hit a cat with a broom. I don't want to mislead anybody here. Yes, I would. This is the nature of the darkness. Jesus said, this is why people prefer darkness, because they really don't want their deeds to be exposed. The Bible says in John 1:5, now the light shines in the darkness. Well, that's what my life needs. I don't know about yours. I mean, this is what my life needs right here. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness has no chance against the light. That's what the Bible says. You're never going to get what you need when you're hurting, when you're afraid, from the dark. So here's Saul, and he doesn't know how to connect with God anymore, and he's far from God. And he says, okay, get me some medium. Get me some practitioner of the dark arts so I can get some kind of answer for this predicament I'm in. Some of you may be here, and you're thinking, I can relate because it's hard to hear a word from God. I'm struggling to get clarity on this situation I'm dealing with. You may be saying that. And if you are, then I would just say to you, you're probably one of many who've had a similar feeling. And I'd like to offer you some thoughts about why it sometimes gets really hard to hear from God. Thought one, sometimes we have surrounded ourselves with lies and liars. And over time, it becomes hard to distinguish truth anymore. I mean, just look at people's behavior on social media these days. Man, if somebody says something I don't like, what's going to happen? I'm going to unfriend, I'm going to block, because I don't want anybody bringing anything in here that I don't agree with or I don't like. And that's our generation. The Bible actually predicted the era in which we live. It said that people would surround themselves with people who only want to say the things that tickle our ears. But I've noticed that God doesn't suffer from that malady. He's not worried if what he says tickles my ears. Sometimes it stomps my toes, and God's okay with that. It gets harder and harder to hear from God sometimes because we just get out of practice. Maybe once there was a time that we consistently sought a word from him in his word. Maybe once there was a time when we consistently met with him in the morning or in the evening. Maybe once there was a time when we had a partner in prayer, or we were devoted in community groups or in life groups or in our BFGs. But that time is gone. And here's the thing, communication is actually a skill. You can improve it. But it takes application over time with consistency. That's how communication improves, including communication with God. Is it getting harder and harder to you to hear from God? There might be a reason. Sometimes it's hard to hear from God because we've decided down deep in our heart that the stuff we hear from God, we're not going to like it, and we know better for ourselves. And that was Saul. He didn't like the things God said to him. And so he sought his truths elsewhere. So today, before we read a few more verses and finish, I just want to say that if you're afraid, if you're hurting, if you're struggling, don't seek comfort or answers in the dark, because there's nothing there for you. Seek that in the light. And the light is not some general, I'm not trying to be a spiritualist here. I'm not talking about morality either. The light has a name. Jesus is the light. Seek the light. So Saul chose not to do that, and he was in for a surprise, actually. Here's how this unfolded. Saul disguised himself. Hey, if you've got to put on a disguise to go do something, it's probably not something you should be doing, right? I mean, unless it's, a disguise party or something. So Saul disguised himself, and he put on other garments, and he went, he and two men with him. They came to the woman by night, and he said, "Divine for me by a spirit, and bring up for me whomever I shall name to you." And the woman said, "Surely you know what Saul has done. He cut off the mediums and necromancers from the land. Why are you laying a trap for my life to bring about my death?" She says, "Look, I don't know you. I don't trust you. I can't do that. That's against the law." And he assures her in verse 10, "Saul swore to her by the Lord, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing." And the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" Because here she is, your typical con artist. She's about to do her old smoke and mirrors thing. And it's probably going to be grandma or someone, you know, that this poor person just needs to get in touch with. And suddenly, this guy says, "Bring up Samuel for me." Now, we are not told what happens between verse 11 and 12. We don't know what shenanigans took place. We don't know what little smoke and mirror show happened. All we know is that the most surprised person in the room was the woman. Because God decided to intervene in this little scene of darkness with some light. And suddenly, her little con artistry was invaded with the word from God. And not only does this immediately open her eyes, she immediately, which by the way is the nature of the light of God, you begin to see stuff that you didn't see before. She immediately looks at this guy and she recognizes that's Saul. So then the woman saw Samuel. She cried out with a loud voice, "Ah!" And the woman said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." Verse 13, the king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What do you see?" Now, Saul couldn't see it. God wasn't even going to let him see this little apparition thing that he was giving this woman to communicate to Saul. This isn't like the transfiguration in the book of Mark. Remember where the disciples, they actually see Elijah and Moses speaking with Jesus. And Peter's like, "We got to build us some shelters here and just stay on this mountain. This is awesome." This wasn't like that event. Saul was clueless. He's just getting his information through this woman. So the king says, "What do you see?" The woman said, "It's like a god coming up out of the earth." He said to her, "What is his appearance?" She said, "An old man is coming up. He's wrapped in a robe." And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground, and he paid homage. All right, so anytime I've ever dealt with this passage or talked about it, it's always disturbing. And there are always people who say, "I don't understand. You're saying this medium was effective? Did what she do work?" Not exactly. Not exactly. All throughout the Bible, we see God choosing to speak when he chooses to speak because he's sovereign. We see God speaking through a whirlwind to someone like Elijah. We see God speaking through a bush to Moses when he's trying to direct Moses back to Egypt. We see God speaking through a donkey's mouth to Balaam when the king of Moab keeps trying to talk Balaam into cursing God's people. And so what we have here is a very Balaam-like incident where God chooses to speak through this con artist, But instead of her giving Saul the little platitudes and stuff that no doubt she was going to be paid to give and that she dispensed out regularly, God said, nope, we're going to give him the truth. And it terrified her. What's surprising to me in this story is not that God chose to use an apparition to say something through this medium. What's surprising to me is that after all God has said, including his final word, which is Jesus Christ, we still run to the darkness for our information instead of listen and look to the light. And that's where Saul was. So was the medium successful? Not really. She did seem to be the most surprised person in the room. But a sovereign God decided to deliver a message to Saul through her anyway. It might be that a sovereign God is trying to deliver a message to you today through this idiot up here on the stage right now. Don't discount it. Maybe you came here skeptically. Understandable. But God is speaking. Because his word doesn't return void. And it's possible. It's possible that sometimes you're struggling. Like, I'm trying to make this decision. Is this really a word from God? Or can I just offer you a few things to consider when you're trying to discern? You know, that word discern is a really important word. To be able to get to the truth of a matter. If you're trying to discern if you're getting a word from God or not, can I offer you just a little bit of biblical advice? First of all, if you're getting a word from God, that word will bring light, not dark. That's inevitable. This is who God is. It's his nature. This is why you go back to Genesis 1, in the beginning was God, and God said, let there be light. And then you get to John 1, and John's telling us about how God has decided to recreate everything in the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And he says, and the light has shined in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. The true light that gives light to every man is coming to the world. He's talking about Jesus Christ. That's John chapter 1. God's word brings light. So if you're in the midst of dark deeds, but you're trying to rationalize, well, I think I'm kind of doing what God wants me to do, you're probably fooling yourself. I would say a second thing, and that is God's words are always consistent with God's words. If you've tried to rationalize something you're doing, saying, well, I've got this special word from God about this, but it's contradicting all these other words from God, you really need to reconsider. There's a reason the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His core nature hasn't changed. He isn't darkness one minute and light the next. That's not who he is. God's words will always point to the word. That's inevitable. The Bible, I think the youth have been talking about this in VBA. In Corinthians, the Bible is talking about all these promises of God find their yes, find their amen in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you're saying, well, God has led me to this other path, this other way, and it doesn't really involve Jesus, but I'm sure it's just as good, you've been deceived. It doesn't work that way. So let's finish. We're down to the end. The Bible says Samuel, this apparition, this thing that the medium was seeing and Saul was just having to listen to the woman. Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul answered, I'm in distress. The Philistines are warring against me. God has turned away from me. He answers me no more, either by prophets or dreams. And I have summoned you to tell me what I shall do. And Samuel said, why then do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? Samuel essentially said, hey, we've already had this conversation. You haven't changed. You haven't repented. Nothing's changed. Verse 17, the Lord has done to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines. Now, catch the next phrase. Don't drift on me. Catch this next phrase. And tomorrow, you and your sons shall be with me. The Lord will give the army of Israel also into the hand of the Philistines. Right now I'm thinking Saul is like, why did I ever come to this medium? And he's just found out he's got 24 hours left to live. Saul was reminded of a basic, simple, eternal truth. And vicariously through Saul, now every single one of us have also been this morning. Here it is. Our ultimate aim and success in life is to know, love, and obey God. And then when we die, we must give an account as to whether we've actually done that or not. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes the judgment. Saul was given quite a blessing. He was given a day's warning about his mortality. You and I have been given quite a blessing. Because we've just been given, who knows, maybe a 5-decade warning. Some of you are pretty young. Maybe a 10-decade warning. I don't know. But it's still a warning. This is the day to seek the light, because we don't know when the light of this life is going to go out. So the Bible says in verse 20 that Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of these words, the words of Samuel. There was no strength in him. He had eaten nothing all day or all night. And the woman came to Saul. When she saw that he was terrified, he was basically laying petrified in the ground. She said, behold, your servant obeyed you. I took my life in my hand. I listened to what you said to me. Now, therefore, you also obey your servant. Let me set a morsel of bread before you eat, that you may have strength when you go on your way. And he refused. He says, I will not. But his servants, together with the woman, urged him, and he listened to their words. And he arose from the earth, and he sat on the bed. Verse 24 says, now the woman had a fattened calf in the house. She took, quickly killed it, took flour, kneaded it, baked unleavened bread of it. She put it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they rose and they went away that night. I'd just like to ask you to consider these two things as we head out the door. Thing one, Saul hoped by somehow getting one final word from Samuel, it would be a different word than the word Samuel had been giving him over and over again in the days of his life. But it wasn't. Here's a thought for all of us. Instead of hoping that somehow God's going to one day decide that he changes his mind about the condition of man, what if we just changed our heart toward the position of God in our life? What if, instead of waiting for that day when we must give account and hoping, maybe I've done enough good stuff, maybe I'm a decent enough person, what if today we guaranteed we would be ready for that day by putting our faith in God through Jesus Christ, his Son? Have you ever done that? Just, there's no ritual. I don't have any magic words. It's not religion either. Have you ever just simply confessed your sin, received the Son of God into your life to be your Lord and Savior? You ever done that? What would hinder you from making a decision like that today? It's the most important decision you ever make in your life. More important than where you're going to go to school or where you're going to work, even who you're going to marry, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is whether or not you're going to live in the light or live in the darkness. And here's the tragic thing. Most people go through their entire life without ever even trying to make that decision. They're just sort of skating, thinking, well, my works will just shine enough light. It's not going to work that way. There's a reason Jesus said, I am the light of the world. There's a reason he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He was trying to bring us truth. I invite you to join me here at the end of the service as we bow our heads and close our eyes. We just take a minute to respond to God in worship. This morning, if you don't have a relationship with God beyond head knowledge or religion, this morning, if you've never accepted His Son, Jesus Christ, into your life as Lord and Savior, what if just right now between you and God, you just offered Him a simple, humble prayer. God, forgive me of my sin. I receive Christ into my life as Lord and Savior. I accept what you have done on my behalf. What if you just offered Him that little prayer? Something like that. An expression of your will. God, I choose light, not darkness. I receive Christ this morning. Help me to live for you. Maybe you made that decision. Maybe you did that a long time ago, but you find yourself more and more drifting, less and less hearing from God, more and more infatuated with the darkness. Put up a fight. Today, draw a line in the sand and say, oh God, I don't want to be that person. I want to come back into the light. Today, maybe it just involves a little time of repentance right there between you and God. Oh God, forgive me of my sin. I want to seek you. I want to be infatuated with, drawn to the light as powerfully as ever. God, help me. God, we just cry out for your help and your mercy in our time of need. We desperately need you. Our generation desperately needs us to be the lights of this world. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, if you need to talk to anybody about any of that stuff, as you leave campus, remember you can stop by our prayer room, our response room. Pastor Wesley and others will be in there if you need to talk with someone or pray with someone or ask questions about Christianity. Let's stand to our feet as we sing this closing chorus and go.
Thank you for listening to the Salem Baptist Church podcast by Dr. Jeff Beckett. For more information about Salem, please visit our website at salem-bc.org.